Hello everyone, and thank you for joining the EP Infrastructure Half Year 2025 Results Conference Call. My name is Lucy, and I'll be coordinating your call today. Our speakers today are Gary Mazzotti, CEO, and Vaclav Palacek, CFO. During the presentation, you can register a question by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. If you have joined us online, you can submit a text question via the Q&A button on your browser. It is now my pleasure to hand over to Gary Mazzotti to begin. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Lucy, and good afternoon to everybody. Welcome to the half-year results announcement of EP Infrastructure. If we move to page three, I'm pleased to be joined by a very young-looking Vaclav Palacek, Chief Financial Officer at EPIF Group, and myself, Gary Mazzotti, CEO and Vice Chairman of the Board of Directors. If we move to page five, we have the executive summary. Those that know these presentations, I like to have a catchphrase. Haven't got a great one for you today, but basically, EPIF transformation as predicted and welcome to the new world. The key numbers, adjusted EBITDA of 1.162 billion euros, a fall from 1.360 million in financial year 2024. The proportionate adjusted EBITDA for the last 12 months was 632 million euros. The adjusted free cash flow was 705 million euros. Our cash conversion ratio increased to 61%, and we finished at a half year with a proportionate net leverage ratio of 2.65 times. The business remains the same. Critical energy infrastructure assets, core activities, transmission of gas, distribution and storage of gas and electricity, and the provision of district heating. Our assets are now almost entirely regulated or long-term contracted, which gives us high visibility, high predictability on both our earnings and our cash flow generation. The key events for the period, clearly as predicted and as forecast, the Russian gas flows via Ustream ceased on the 31st of December 2024, and Ustream has successfully transitioned to a domestic TSO with its primary responsibility of supplying gas to the local markets. This indeed actually has made our cash flows more stable and in fact improved our credit quality. So although we have lower overall revenue streams since the beginning of 2025, we have clearly benefited from an increased share of regulated revenues and a far more resilient credit profile, which is reflected by our investment grade ratings by all three agencies. We also, during the first quarter of this year, divested our two CHP units, one in Elektrana Opatovice and one in United Energy. We'll go into more details as to why, but actually these CHPs themselves are not infrastructure-centric profile, so they were best outside of the group. EPIS proportionate net leverage, we've flagged, I think, many times that we will bring this back nearly to pre-Russian invasion levels, and our current target is to bring our proportionate net leverage target to four times, effective from the second half of 2025. The group is well positioned to accommodate this higher leverage and maintain stable debt capacity. If we move to page six, the group's ownership structure remains the same, 69% owned by EPH and 31% owned by Macquarie's and co-investors. EP Infrastructure now has three investment grade ratings, BBB minus from Standard & Poor's and Fitch, and a Baa3 from Moody's. So congratulations, Moody's. Thank you very much. The core divisions, clearly the group has now moved to the core division being the gas and power distribution, two fully regulated DSOs in Slovakia, and the last 12 months EBITDA of 554 million. The gas transmission business, the last 12 months, continues to transition, therefore, into a domestic regulated TSO. Gas storage last 12 months fell to 236 million euros. This reflects a tightening in the winter summer spreads, and we'll go into that in more detail later as well. Heat Infra, following the disposal of the CHPs, will become effectively the distributor of heat with one CHP left in the city of Pilsen. We are located continually in Slovakia, Czech Republic, and Germany. We have leading positions. Our major subsidiaries in Slovakia are co-owned by the Slovak state. And we can also add that our main shareholder, EPH, in June 2025, SNP, affirmed EPH credit rating to BBB- on a positive outlook. The remaining 31% is owned by Macquarie's Asset Management. Key numbers, 2021 to 2025. 2025, last 12 months, is the transformation to the new business model of the EPIF Group. Proportionate net leverage, 2.65 or 2.71, adjusted for the disposal of the CHPs. If we move to page 8, recent developments, we'll split this in two parts. I'll do the first part. Clearly, on the end of the first quarter, we divested 100% interest in two CHPs, Elektrana Opatovice and United Energy, and some other non-core entities to the broader EP Group. This strategic disposal reinforces our core strategy of focusing just on infrastructure assets. The transaction also mitigates the transition and the construction risks and eliminates cash flows around capital cash flows around 1.3 billion euros, which will be associated with the decarbonization of these two plants. Although these assets disposed generated only 14 million euros EBITDA in the first half, last 12 months, 2025, the selling price of 475 million euros reflects the inclusion of what was and is fully prepared decarbonization projects. In number terms, we put down the adjusted EBITDAs that were being produced by these two CHPs, the capex involved, and indeed the leverage implications pre and post disposal. The selling price was partially offset against declared dividends from EPIF, 457 million euros, and partially paid in cash, which is euros 17 million. With regards to capital structure items on page 9, I'll hand over to Václav. Václav.
Thank you, Gary, and good afternoon, everyone. So I'll continue on slide number 9, and I'll start with the most obvious event from this year, which was the repayment of 500 million bond issued by SPP Infrastructure Financing BV, guaranteed by EUSTREAM. So the bond was redeemed at par upon its maturity, and as we envisaged, we used operating cash flows generated by EUSTREAM. This piece of news was already published, so no surprise there. Let me move to dividend payments. You know that we have a certain pause in dividend distributions. Last year we restarted dividend with 300 million distribution, and this year let me summarize what we have distributed so far. Gary already mentioned that EPIF declared 457 million of dividends. That was, however, fully offset against the receivable from a disposal of CHPs, so no cash impact of this dividend declaration. However, we are disclosing it for transparency. And during first half 2025, EPIF also distributed, meaning declared and paid, 71 million of dividend. So this is already reflected in the leverage as of June 2025. Also, from the very recent subsequent events, at the end of August, EPIF Board of Directors proposed 100 million dividend payment to its shareholders. So this is now subject to shareholders' approval. It is expected that the payment will be made in course of September if this is approved by the shareholders. Then I have also an update on ESG matters. In July, we announced that we received BBB flat rating from MSCI, which is a very good outcome, namely considering that MSCI is focusing namely on public entities, while private entities such as EPIF are somewhat penalized for our private structure and specific corporate governance. Right, so very, very good outcome and confirming that our long-term efforts in the area of ESG is really paying off. So we summarize the key events of year 2025, and let's move to slide number 10 that shows our performance in first half 2025 compared to the first half 2024. So this is standard adjusted EBITDA bridge. As expected, our performance has declined, in particular by 27% to 524 million of adjusted EBITDA in first half 2025. And this decline is connected with the anticipated change of EU Streams business model. So let's discuss individual segments. I'll start with gas transmission segment represented by EU Stream. That declined strongly by 61% to 78 million during first half 2025. And the decline is caused by the fact I mentioned, it's the envisaged change in the business model when EU Stream has become primarily a domestic TSO with significant portion of regulated revenues. When it comes to the gas and power distribution segment, this is the very robust and resilient segment with two DSOs. It reported stable performance. 7% decline is driven by two factors. Firstly, we had a lower margin on network losses allowed by the Slovak regulator for the power DSO. And the second driver for the decline is our supply business. Commodity prices have reduced to the pre-energy crisis levels, and since the prices are lower, also our absolute margins for supply activities is also lower, so they normalized. Gas storage segment under pressure this year. Those who follow gas market, you are aware that this season summer-winter spread is very low, or there were even periods with negative spread, and this spread is the key driver for pricing of storage activities. So the storage season that commenced 1st April 2025 is really a challenging one, and this is reflected in the H1 2025 figures with 30% decline compared to prior period. Then heat infra segment, the smallest of our segments is reporting 14% decline to 54 million, and the decline is connected with lower power spreads, which translate into lower power generating revenues and lower ancillary services revenues, while the heat activities delivering of heat to households is fairly stable. So overall, we delivered 524 million of adjusted EBITDA, which is declined compared to last year. However, this is connected with the change of business model of EU Stream and the increased credit quality of our earnings. Now I would hand over to Gary for his strategic insights on business and regulatory update.
So we move to page 10. Thank you, Václav. The core business is clearly gas transmission, and we flagged this, I think, well in advance over the previous year. The gas flows via Ukraine were interrupted and indeed stopped on the 1st of January 2025. As of this date, new transmission tariffs became effective. It's €1 per megawatt hour per day for all entry and exit points, except for the domestic point, which is 90 cents megawatt hour per day. To understand this, the most noticeable point is the domestic point, where the entry-exit tariffs were 5 cents and 27 cents per megawatt hour per day. In effect, therefore, Ustream has moved from Ustream Business Model 1 to Ustream Business Model 2, which is effectively a domestic regulated TSO that has some additional flows through its other connection points. I point out that Ustream is still ideally located and is still able to reverse to do two-way flows into Poland, Ukraine, Slovakia, Austria, Czech Republic, and Hungary. These regulated TSOs and the consumption of Slovakia is highly predictable. So we've effectively substituted counterparty risk Russian shipper to counterparty risk Slovak gas consumption. So effectively the revenues are down as we indicated, but the credit metrics have significantly improved, which I think can be seen by the three ratings that we currently have from S&P, Moody's and Fitch, all of which are IG, all of which are on a stable basis, and all of which take into account the cessation of the Russian gas flows. Gas and power distribution, now the largest division, Vasilev pointed out, this is highly predictable. The regulatory period is 2023, 2027. The regulation stability of the business performance has been shown for many, many years. The WACC has been increased both on gas distribution and in power distribution for 2026 to 5.48%. This is a highly predictable and stable business and now is the majority of the earnings of EPIV. Gas storage indeed also has new regulatory tariffs based upon a benchmark system with a maximum price. This regulation, though, applies only to the Slovak distribution system. So gas storages and gas flows that relate to international trading counterparties is still on a merchant basis, which is why Vasilev said that the winter-summer spread being so low this year is having a negative effect on our business. To understand it, when you start a storage season on the 1st of April each year, if your storages are relatively full, you are going to have a good year of EBITDA in storage. If you start the year with your storages relatively empty, you're going to have a below par performance. Storages on the 1st of April this year were relatively empty, and therefore we will have a below par performance going forward. We think that that may well continue into 2026, depending how cold the winter 25-26 period is. However, in end of 26-27, there are significant additional LNG gas flows taking place both from Qatar and from the US. So we believe that storage levels in Europe from 2027 and onwards will return back to normality and a more levelized performance from the gas storage division. Heat-Infra now is effectively hot water distributed to two major conurbations, and the third conurbation is hot water, but also we have a CHP in the city of Pilsen. These are to be replaced by biomass, waste to energy, and two hydrogen-ready CCGT units. The expected capex will be about $300 million in 2028-29, $130 million of which comes from the EU Modernization Fund. We've already secured a 15-year cogeneration subsidy on one of our units, and we're hopeful and optimistic of success on the second unit during the course of 2025. The heat distribution business is then highly predictable, and the merchant nature of the CHPs has been reduced by two-thirds. We then move on to Vasilev's favorite bit, which is the capital structure. So, Vasilev.
Thank you, Gary. So I'll update you on our capital structure. The section is divided into three parts. Firstly, I'll describe our liquidity and debt balances. Then I will get to the update on the capital structure strategy. And finally, I'll get to our debt maturity profile and our upcoming refinancing needs. So let's start on slide number 13. Which shows a snapshot of our liquidity and debt balances. As of June 25, we had 3 billion of gross debt across the group, which is declined by 518 million compared to year-end 2024, and this is primarily driven by the 500 million bond repayment in February. Then the remaining 18 million, this is combination of scheduled bank facilities and decline in lease liabilities. As of June, we had a 3.4-year weighted average tenor of our instruments, which is consistent with 3.3 as of December 2024. Our liquidity, firstly, we are reporting more than 1.2 billion of cash and cash equivalents on our balance sheet. And on top of that, we have 798 million of undrawn committed RCFs, again, across the group. For better transparency, we have split these balances on the slide, and we are indicating what balances we have within SPPI group, EPIF entity, and the balance as a other category. Most importantly, I'll focus on EPIF entity level, which is the holdco, where we have 1.9 billion of gross debt. And as of June, we had also 255 million of cash and 486 million of committed RCFs at the entity. So we can see we have this structure of layered liquidity across the group in order to meet all operational needs, as well as to be well prepared for potential refinancing or strategic opportunities that might arise. So overall, we are satisfied with the diversification of debt structure. Also, we have decently priced our debt with 2.5% of annualized interest expense, very, very competitive. And as for the liquidity, we continue to maintain robust liquidity that underpins our investment grade credit profile. So let's move to page number 14, which focuses on the strategy. As a part of our commitment to maintain a resilient financial profile, we have communicated new leverage target of 4.0 times, effective from second half of 2025. This policy change reflects a strengthened credit profile of the group, as well as the ability to accommodate a higher leverage while preserving stability. We announced this new target already in March, and my interpretation is that all three credit rating agencies confirmed this target and accepted it well. Notably, two of the agencies increased their downgrade threshold to 4.5 times, which again, my interpretation is that this is a pretty strong endorsement of our financial policy. As of June 2025, we are reporting net leverage of 2.65 times, which is up from 2.29 as of year-end 2024. Reason for this increase is the decline in our EBITDA. So you can see we are reporting proportionate adjusted EBITDA for the LTM period, 632, which is 15% down from the level we achieved in 2024. Importantly, our net debt balance remained stable. In fact, it declined by 1%. Looking ahead to second half of this year, our leverage is going to increase further toward the new target. It will happen naturally through the envisaged decline in EBITDA and also through the dividend payments. We discussed during first half we distributed 71 million dividend, which is reflected already in 2.65 leverage, and already in September we are likely to pay additional 100 million to shareholders. Beyond this leverage target, we have also two other key elements of our capital structure policy, which is exposure to bonds and limited structural subordination. As for the bonds, we like bond market. Currently, we have 86% of our debt represented by bonds, which we are very satisfied with. And for the structure subordination, we understand that our optimum is the range 70 to 80% for the EPIF entity proportion on groups proportionate gross debt. As of June, we are reporting 77% share, so we are well in line with this strategy. So all in all, taking into account all these aspects we discussed, believe that EPIF credit quality has returned to the level or even exceeded the level EPIF had prior to the geopolitical disruption in early 2022. Now, let's move to slide 15, which focuses on debt maturity profile. Let me reiterate that we have more than 2 billion of liquidity as of June. Our 2025 maturities have been already dealt with. So the next instrument is EPIF July 2026 bond for 600 million. We are actively evaluating refinancing options for this instrument, and the timing and structure will be determined based on prevailing market conditions and our strategic considerations. Beyond 2026, we have some long-term maturities, namely in 2031, 1 billion, which is fairly favorable. And also we acknowledge there is certain concentration of maturities around 2027. So this is something we keep a close eye on. And given our commitment to maintain robust liquidity and disciplined financial policy, we believe we will be able to address these maturities on timely and efficient manner. So overall, as conclusion to the capital structure section, we have updated our leverage target to better reflect our credit quality. We continue to maintain robust liquidity, and we are aware of our upcoming maturities. I would hand over to Gary for his closing remarks.
Thank you, Václav. And so therefore, to wrap up today's presentation before Q&As, what we've shown today is an anticipated, in fact, predicted period-on-period decrease in the group's EBITDA performance in the first half of 2025. This is primarily the change of Ustream from a predominantly export-orientated TSO to a regulated domestic TSO, with a far higher share of regulated revenues. Also, we have been affected by a relatively an unusual low gas storage spreads. For those analysts out there who want to predict forward, I think you have the full year 2024 and the LTM to June 2025, so I think you can probably very accurately assess the full year 2025 performance. We, as usual, continue to have a substantial liquidity position with 1.2 billion euros of cash and cash equivalents and 798 million of undrawn committed credit facilities across the group as of 30th of June 2025. Our proportionate net leverage ratio has risen to 2.65, and we would expect it to continue to rise, primarily due to the reduction of the EBITDA with a net leverage target of 4x. We strengthened the group's infrastructure focus and its profile by removing and selling the two CHPs outside of the group, and therefore limiting the effect of a quite sizable CapEx bill on EPIF's capital structure. The asset base remains strategic, leading positions co-owned by Slovakia. We continue to have four distinct divisions, which gives us a diversified portfolio and indeed natural hedges between them. If we look at the outlook, a significant portion of EBITDA will be driven now by fully regulated and long-term contracted businesses. Improved credit quality will be able to support a stable debt capacity. We remain committed to investment grade ratings, and we're grateful to all three rating agencies for their current assessments of the business. And we have announced our proportionate net leverage target of 4x will become effective in the second half of 2025. As always, the dividend distributions will be carefully assessed in line with these policies and in line with our commitment to investment grade. In summary, EPIF is now positioned with a stable and recurring earnings profile. This is characterized by low volatility, high visibility and a reliable cash flow generation. The group capital structure has been adjusted, and we've repaid, or Vassal has repaid, $1.25 billion of gross debt, $750 million EPIF bond in 2024, and a €500 million bond in 2025. And the new credit structure, the credit reliability of the business, is reflected fully by the three IG ratings from the businesses. So thank you everyone for joining us. We apologize profusely for being a stable, predictable infrastructure business. An interesting 3 years, where I think we've shown our commitment to IG and commitment to our creditors, and we look forward to a much more peaceful and calm infrastructure life. Any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to Vassal and myself. And if not, we wish you a happy week. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.